When the Lord tells us something once, as the Word of God, we must understand that there is a reason why God says everything in His Word, and we should pay attention to every word of the Lord. When the Lord repeats something twice, we should recognize that the Lord is repeating it for a reason, that we should pay extra special attention to it, and we should give ourselves to understand those things especially that the Lord repeats. When the Lord says something on four occasions in His Word, we need to pay special attention to it. That little statement that we read from verse 7 and 8, "Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart," is repeated by the Lord no fewer than four times in the Scriptures. I'll not turn up the references just now, but I'll mention them. Psalm 95, 7 and 8. Hebrews 3, 7 and 8. Hebrews 3, 15. And Hebrews 4, verse 7, we are told, "Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation." Now, the fact that God says this four times, it tells me that the sin of men hardening their heart against the Lord is prominent in every generation. When the apostle makes reference to the day of provocation there in verse 8 and the day of temptation in the wilderness, he's speaking about the days of Moses. He has in mind in particular that occasion recorded in Exodus 17. The Israelites came to Rephidim. There the people tempted God when they asked for water. There they chided with God, and there they blamed the Lord for all their troubles. And the Bible tells us they hardened themselves against God. And the point I'm making to you is this, that the sin of hardening the heart was prominent and it was prevalent in the days of Moses. The people in Moses' day in the wilderness at Rephidim, they were guilty of hardening their hearts against the Lord. And when you come to Psalm number 95, you discover that David uttered those words in that psalm, and he was uttering them by way of warning to the people of his generation. Let me just read them to you there from Psalm 95. "He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." And what David is doing, he is reminding the people of his generation that the people in Moses' time, they hardened their hearts against the Lord. And he's saying, listen, don't you be guilty of it. And he was warning the people of his day, they were in danger of hardening their hearts. And David was saying, don't do it. So the people of Moses' generation hardened themselves against God. David was concerned the people in his generation were hardening themselves against the Lord too, and he warned them against it. Then when you come to Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, the apostle Paul declares there in verse 7 and 8, "Wherefore as the Holy Ghost saith," he's saying, listen, you need to take up, sit up and take notice. The Holy Ghost warned in the Psalms that you're not to harden your heart against the Lord. And he says, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And Paul is addressing the people of his generation. So in his day, there were those, and they were either in danger of, or they were committing the sin of hardening their hearts against the Lord. Now here's a sin name that was committed in the days of Moses, the days of David, and the days of the Apostle Paul. It's a sin that is prevalent in every major era of the Bible and in every generation. And I believe that this is a sin that is still prevalent and common today. I believe it's still common in this 21st century. I believe there are those who are sitting in our churches throughout this land, and they're either hardening their heart against the Lord, or they're in danger of hardening themselves against the Lord. There are those who have been brought up in Christian homes and Christian families, and they've hardened themselves against the God of their parents, their mother, and their father. There are those who walk our streets, the streets of our towns. And there are those, I have no doubt, who are walking the streets of Portadown day after day or week after week. And they have, and they are hardening themselves against the Lord. I wonder, am I speaking to someone in this house tonight? You have been hardening your heart against the Lord. I want to say to you, God has a message for you in these verses just now. And I don't want you to miss the message. It's an important message. There are important lessons God wants you to know and God wants you to hear. If you up until this point have been hardening yourself against the Lord has a message for you tonight. The first thing I want you to see from these verses is that there is an exhortation from the Lord himself. Let me highlight just those words. We're going to look at various parts of the verses, but let me single out that little statement at the start of verse 8. The Lord, the Holy Ghost, is speaking. And this is his message to you. This is his exhortation. This is what he says to you tonight directly. Harden not your heart. It's put in the form of a negative command. He's saying there's something you're not to do. You're not to harden your heart any longer against God. Now, if the Lord is saying you're not to harden your heart, then we should ask the question, what does it mean to harden your heart? If the Lord is telling you not to do something, we have to ask the question, what does it mean to do this? What does it mean for me to harden my heart so I know not to do it anymore? To harden your heart, I believe, means to know that God is true and that God exists. To harden your heart against the Lord, I believe, you know exactly what God requires of you to do to be saved and to be right with Him and to be reconciled to Him. But you stubbornly, and the idea of stubbornness is in that word harden, you stubbornly resist, you stubbornly refuse, you stubbornly go on in your own way. That's what it means to harden your heart. To stubbornly resist God, knowing that God exists, knowing that His Word is true, knowing what He requires of you to be saved and to be right with Him for eternity. You reject it. You resist it. That's what it means. To harden your heart. Pharaoh, I was going to say as the classic example, let me rephrase that. Pharaoh is the tragic example of a man in Scripture who hardened himself against the Lord. If you have a Bible before you, would you just turn back to Exodus chapter 8 and the verse 15. There are a number of references to Pharaoh's heart being hardened against the Lord. This is one of them. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Let me explain that verse. Let me explain what Pharaoh did in hardening his heart against the Lord. Pharaoh, I believe, lived for many years with no knowledge of the true God of heaven. He was an Egyptian. He was a Gentile. And he, I believe, had little to no knowledge of the God of heaven. And yet one day, two of God's servants walked into the palace and they obtained an audience with the king. Their names were Moses and Aaron. And all Pharaoh was interested in was keeping the Hebrews as his slaves to build his treasure cities. Moses and Aaron, the servants of God, came into the palace and they told him, "Thus saith the Lord, let my people go." That was God's word to Pharaoh. That message came to Pharaoh's heart. Moses and Aaron confirmed God's message with miraculous signs. They confirmed the word to the point that Pharaoh's magicians couldn't mimic what they did, and they couldn't argue. They had to say, "This is the finger of God. This is the hand of the true and living God all over it." And Pharaoh realized that Moses and Aaron were the servants of God. And the word they spoke was the word of God from heaven itself. And he realized what he had to do. God told him, "Let my people go." Yet he stubbornly refused. And he resisted. And God sent plague after plague. And Egypt was devastated. And it came to the point in the chapter 8 of the book of Exodus that Pharaoh said to Moses, "You pray to your God, you tell him to take this plague away, and I let the people go. I'll comply with the word of God." How many people are there like that? They get in trouble. Trouble afflicts their lives. They fall ill. They get into financial difficulties. There's something else happens in their lives. And they say, "You know, God, if you clean up my life, if you get me out of this mess, I'll turn to you. I'll believe in you. I'll give my life to you." And yet what happened? Moses, he prayed and the Lord took away the plague. And that verse tells us because there was respite, he hardened his heart and he hearkened not unto them. And he hearkened not unto the Lord as the Lord had said. I wonder, is there someone in the meeting tonight and you've had troublous times in the past and the Lord has dealt with you and you've told the Lord, "If you get me out of this situation, Lord, I'll give my life to you." And yet you're still hardening your neck and your heart against the Lord. Does that describe someone? You wouldn't argue. You wouldn't take the position of the atheist. You know there's a God in heaven. You believe that Jesus is his son. You know that what Jesus did on the cross, he did for the salvation of men. And yet, you will not have this man to reign over you. You've rejected the gospel. You're hardening your heart against the Lord. I don't know what the reason is. Maybe it's because the pleasures of sin have you in their grip. Maybe you're concerned what others would think or what others would say about you. But the Lord has a message for you tonight. And the message is this: stop hardening your heart. I heard a story a little while ago, and I think it illustrates well why the Lord would say to you tonight, harden not your heart. Don't go on in your stubbornness. The story was told by an evangelist. When he was a young boy, he went into the blacksmith's shop and he watched the blacksmith make the horseshoe. And while you maybe have never seen it with your eyes, you've maybe seen it on the television or whatever, in books. And the blacksmith makes the horseshoe, and the horseshoe is heated to really high temperature, so the steel or whatever the horseshoe's made out of, it's red hot, it's glowing with heat. And when he hammers it into the particular shape and he gets it just as he wants, he then dips it in the bucket of cold water to take most of the heat out of it. The evangelist told the story. He saw the blacksmith doing this and he dipped the horseshoe in the bucket of water. And he set it to the side for a moment, and in a little while, the blacksmith, he lifted the horseshoe and he threw it over with the rest of them. And the evangelist, as a young boy, thought he would go and do it, and he went to lift the horseshoe, and it burnt the hand off him, and he had to drop it. And the blacksmith laughed, and he went and lifted it again, and he threw it back with the rest of them. And the evangelist told, as a young boy, how he tried to do it again, and he lifted it again, and it burnt his hand, and he had to drop it. And he went and he looked at the blacksmith's hands, and they were as tough as old boots, as we would say. The skin was hardened so that he could lift the horseshoe even though it was still warm, and he didn't even feel it. Can I say to you, it is possible for you to harden your heart to the extent that the gospel will stop having any impact or effect upon you. I could preach about the love of God and how Christ died and all the extent that he suffered on the cross for sinners that would bring tears to the eyes of a stone, and you could sit and remain unmoved. I could preach about the terrors of hell that would shake and move men to fear, and yet you walk out the doors without a concern or a worry in your heart. I tell you, that's what hardening your heart can do. It can bring you to the point where the gospel will just roll off you, as we would say, water of a duck's back, and you'll not give it any thought or any concern. You'll have no concern for your soul. And it's for that reason the Lord would say to you tonight, don't go any further. Stop hardening your heart against me. He is an exhortation. Harden not your heart. You've been doing it for years. He's saying tonight, stop it. Go no further. But I want you to see in the second place tonight, not only an exhortation, turn back to Hebrews chapter 3. You'll see that in these verses, there is an invitation. Because in verse 7, we read those words, today, if ye will hear his voice. Isn't it good to know the Lord is still speaking to men and women? If ye will hear his voice, God speaks to men and women. He speaks to sinners. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, and they sowed the fig leaves together and they hid in the bushes, we're told in Genesis 3 and 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And he came and he said to them, where art thou? He spoke to them in their state of sin. Men and women, he called them to face up to their sin. He called them to confess their sin. He called them to reconciliation for their sin. And God speaks. And I wonder, is he speaking to your heart now? Do you know how the Lord speaks? He speaks through the Bible. For the Bible is God's word. And he speaks through the preacher. For the preacher who preaches the truth as God's servant. There's a wee portion, and I'm not going to turn it up. It's in Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15. And Paul asks a question, how shall they call? That is those who are not saved, those who aren't Christians, those who aren't right with God. He said, how shall they call? And him whom they have not believed. And how shall they believe? And him in whom they have not heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And men and women, when the preacher speaks God's word, the Holy Ghost takes it and he applies it to your heart. It's not your mind playing tricks on you. It's the Holy Ghost and he's speaking. And he's saying, you've rebelled long enough. You've hardened your heart long enough. And it's time to listen to the Lord. And it's time to get right with God. Can I say too that God speaks through everyday events? Perhaps you've stood at the open grave in recent days and you've wondered when the time comes and your body is laid into the dust. Maybe you've thought, where will I spend eternity? That's the Lord speaking. Maybe you've heard about the car accident and the individual who has been injured in that accident. I'm not thinking of any particular accident now in the past week. I'm just saying, maybe in times gone by, you've heard of an individual who has been taken seriously ill. And they've been brought to death's door and you've wondered, if that was me, how would I do? That's the Lord speaking. He speaks through the events of life. He speaks primarily through his word and through the preacher. And I wonder tonight, is he speaking to your heart? He's calling you to recognize your sin. To realize you've played the fool for too long in rejecting him and hardening yourself against him. And tonight he's saying, come unto me. You see, there's a difference, and I want to emphasize this. There is a difference in hearing God's voice and responding to it. You can hear the voice of God speaking to your soul and yet do nothing about it. The man or woman who is a Christian, the man or woman, the boy or the girl who will be saved, is one who responds to God's voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Those that are saved are not only those that hear the voice of God, they're those who respond to it. I love the hymn Horatius Bonner, it's one of my favorites. We're going to sing it at the end of the service. And he tells us his testimony, a form of his testimony. He said, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. And he goes on to say, I came to Jesus as I was. Weary, worn, and sad, I found in him a resting place. Praise God, he has made me glad. Listen, I'm not asking you tonight. Well, I am. I'm asking you, have you heard the voice of Jesus speak to you? But I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to go a little further, and I'm going to say, are you willing to respond? You don't have to put your hand up at the end of the meeting to respond to the Lord. You don't have to walk the aisle to respond to the Lord. You have to repent of your sin and believe the gospel. Now listen, if you want to put your hand up at the end of the meeting and indicate you want to talk to the preacher, I'm happy for that. If you want to walk the aisle, if you want to come to the minister's room and speak to the Reverend Elliot or myself, we're happy for you to do that. But I'm saying to you, you can do that and still not be saved. To respond to the voice of Jesus I'm asking you, will you believe that he's your Savior? Will you turn away from your sin? Will you have him as your Lord? Today, and I want to emphasize that little bit, I want to give a warning before we move on to the final thought. You see, Paul said, today, if you will hear his voice. God is speaking to you through his word. He's speaking to you now. How vitally important it is that you respond right now. For there is no guarantee that God will speak to you again. My spirit shall not always strive with man. You could harden your heart so much against the Lord, maybe even this very night, that the Spirit of God will strive with you no more. I remember as a young Christian hearing that story that Dr. Paisley told in the early days of his ministry in the little church at the bottom of the Ravenhill Road. Two ladies coming to the meetings. Maybe you've already heard this story, but it illustrates the point I'm making. They were under great and deep conviction of sin. And one of them went away, and she came back to the preacher. She told him that she'd been so troubled about her soul that night in bed, she'd asked the Spirit to leave her alone. She came back the following week to simply say she had not been troubled ever since and she wouldn't be back to any of the meetings. That's why the Holy Ghost saith today. God's Spirit could strive with you no more. You could go out those doors and some terrible tragedy could befall you and your soul would be taken out into eternity. God could say of your soul as he did of the farmer in Luke chapter 12, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. I'm putting you on the spot tonight. If you're not a Christian, the Holy Ghost in grace is speaking to you. And saying, come to Christ. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't rebel against him anymore. Come to him in faith and in repentance. For there's a final thought in this passage, and I want to just emphasize it very briefly in closing. There's an exhortation, harden not your heart. There's an invitation today, if you will hear his voice. But in closing tonight, there is a declaration. You see, Paul's statement here really runs right down to verse 11. He's speaking of the children of Israel. He's using them as an example of those that hardened their hearts against the Lord. And he's saying, don't you do it. And he gives in verse 11 the declaration and the reason why they weren't to harden their hearts. God swore in his wrath, that is against those children of Israel that rebelled and hardened themselves against him. They shall not enter into my rest. That generation in the wilderness, they died in the wilderness. And they never entered into the rest of the promised land. They never entered into Canaan. God's gift, God's inheritance for Israel. They didn't enter into the rest. Canaan. It is a type of the heavenly Canaan. It is a type of the saints' inheritance in Christ. And just as the consequences for the Israelites who hardened themselves against the Lord, they didn't enter into the earthly Canaan. Men and women, I have the solemn duty and responsibility to say to you tonight, if you harden your heart against the Lord and you die in your sin, then you will not enter into the heavenly Canaan. You'll be shut out of heaven. The golden streets you'll never walk. The mansion in glory you will never own or possess. the presence of a loving Savior who is willing and able to save you, you'll never know. You'll not enter into the eternal bliss of glory if you continue to harden your heart against the Lord. For this reason, I simply say again, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart.